as I hear James and Mirella sharing their testimony, I just see how much they have grown in the Lord. I think a matured Christian is one that can go through thick and thin, through the most difficult times, and yet their trust is anchored in the Lord. No? It's so beautiful to watch. It's like what KG says, they are the glorious inheritance of God. Just as you are, a lot of you are unsung heroes sitting there going through difficult times but still wearing a smile. No, you are the glorious inheritance of God. So good that we are in the house of a Lord that regards us so beautifully. Huh? It's so good. Let's just ask the Lord to bless His word today. I'm sharing on the last mission value of the church. If you remember, we have got four W's. The first W is the word. The second W is witness. And then we have got worship. And I'm covering the works. Yeah, the works of works. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we thank you so much that you are the one who created us for good works. And we are your glorious inheritance. We are your workmanship. And Lord, you regard us as the finest because we believe in you and we trust in you. And so this morning we are so grateful that we can sit under your feet, O Lord, to listen to you because you are a kind God. You are a good God that approves of us. So this morning the church submits herself to you and we ask of your Holy Spirit to come and walk with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow, the last mission value, and then we'll go into the book of Acts, actually. It's a beautiful, been reading the book of Acts as my devotion so that when I share with you any sermon is with reading, not reading from 20 years ago, fresh reading. So I encourage all of you to read the book of Acts as well. Right. If you want to be happy, there's one thing you can do. How many of you want to be happy? Oh, of course you do. If you want to be happy, you do good works. If you want to be happier, you do more good works. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, we are called to abound in good works. That means you do a lot of good works. And now neuroscience are saying, because neuroscience is very new. When I first went into uni, neuroscience was not offered as a subject. Then when I went into uni, which is quite some years ago, neuroscience was offered as a subject. And then, of course, now we have a lot of neuroscience imaging and all that. They are saying that there are physiological changes in the human brain when you do good. So when you do good, when you are involved in good works, you are actually investing in your mental health. Also, if you are doing good works, it actually connects you to people and it fosters a sense of belonging. And it reduces loneliness. So if you are lonely, if you are not feeling a sense of belonging, maybe there's one area you can consider. Do good works. Because it actually makes your life more fun and more meaningful. Do you know if you do good works and you do a lot of activities that are related to God's people or God's calling, you actually do feel very joyful. That's why you see James and Mirella just now, they're joyful even in a time of turbulence. You're joyful, why? Because when you're with people, you can laugh a lot. Do you know that you only laugh a lot when you're with people? If you're alone and you laugh a lot. Okay, I wouldn't say very much, but when you do good works and you're with people, you laugh a lot, you really can feel a sense of belonging. Life is much more fun. Life is much more meaningful. Of course, this is at the physical level and at the social level. At the spiritual level, if you want to please God and be a blessing to the people that God brings across your path, you do good works. Because when your life shines with you communicating life and vitality and benevolence and kindness, I tell you what, God is glorified. Because you reflect the good nature of God. And you have got what we call, you know, sociologists call a winning personality. People like you because you win people to God. And also unbelievers can have a favorable impression of you, like, wow, Christians looks like it's fun to be Christians and Christians do good. And so you prepare them actually for conversion. So these days, rather than just preaching the gospel and fire and brimstone, it is really through your life of good works that non-believers will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, a Christian with no good works is an oxymoron. That means it's a contradiction in terms. It is like something is amiss. If you say it's a Christian, he or she is a Christian, but they don't do good works. It is contradiction. It can't happen because the Holy Spirit is invested in you to do good. It is the flow of divine life from heaven that is in you that you can do good and you can do good works and you can fulfill our fourth mission value, which is to be full of works. You want to be an influence to Perth and beyond? One of the ways is through works. And today we're going to use a passage from Titus. Titus is not very well used, but today we're going to use Titus chapter 3 to talk about this area of good works. I like how Titus 3 begins in the NIV version, and the title is Saved in Order to Do Good. So I'm going to clarify some things here. So you are already saved, then you do good works. I want to repeat this. You don't need to do good works to be saved because good works cannot bring you salvation. Only belief in the Lord Jesus Christ brings you salvation. So you are saved, then you do good works. You understand this? This is very important, okay? Because if not, then you have to prove yourself. You do a lot and then God will love you. No, you don't have to. Of course, it's good to do a lot of good because I just told you that it gives you a sense of connection and it actually makes life very fun and very meaningful. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3 and we're going to read from verses 4 to 8. Titus 3 verses 4 to 8. It says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good." In the New King James Version, it says, "Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." So I'm going to do some teaching here. The first point is this: kind God, kind believers. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, it says in verses 4 to 5, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. I've got a cousin. In my conversation with him, he was very distraught, really very distraught, because he says, "What is this?" He said, "Christianity doesn't need good works to bring us salvation." See, he practices a religion that if you want to be saved, you need to do a lot of good works. If you want to have a good life in the next life, you need to do a lot of good works. He said it's too easy to be true. And I think he's right. He's right. it is too easy for us because we don't need to do good works and we are saved. It's too good. But he's wrong, because it is not easy for Christ, who had to die on the cross for us to be saved, in order for us to do good works. It is truly the kindness of the Lord Jesus that we are saved. So we are saved to do good, not the other way around. You don't have to do good works to be saved. Because good works is the evidence of your salvation. They are actions that spring up from your faith that is real, that is full of vitality. And you don't do good works to win brownie points. James, I'm afraid my point has just gone into the fire. Even though my car broke down and I came to visit Mirella, I don't get an extra point. You don't do good works to win brownie points. You don't do good works out of guilt or compulsion. You see, if you think that you are saved only when you do good works, then you will do a lot of things out of compulsion, like, I've got a quota to meet. God is a hard taskmaster. If I don't do good works, God's not going to bless me, and I'm going to have a poor, miserable life on earth. You are doing it out of guilt, out of shame, out of compulsion. No, no, no. Let's start it right. Because we want to be the glorious inheritance of God, and we want to have good values. We do good works out of the kindness of God in you. Kind God produces kind believers. Tap yourself on the back, on your shoulders. Tap yourself. I'm kind. Because my God is kind. Very good. Must tap more. It's true. I tell myself that, hey, you got a kind God. Say, be kind to yourself and be kind to others. The second point is this. New birth, new life. In Titus 3:5, it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. You've got new birth, and therefore you have new life. Your old life is gone. New life is created in you, the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So you can only do good works when your heart is reconciled to God. So if before your conversion you are stingy, and you won't share a thing with anyone, when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then he will wash that away. Trust me, I came from that history. When I was younger, we were very poor. And this is so shameful, but I must bring it out so that you can bring glory to God. We were very poor. And 30 cents is a lot of money, right? And so I saved my 30 cents. And I know my downstairs neighbor, there's this Malay lady who sells rojak. If you don't know what rojak is, it's actually like a Chinese salad. Quite smelly, but really delicious. And I really wanted to eat my rojak. But I come from a family that's quite big. I'm the eldest in the family. We've got five in a family. And if I buy for all of them, then it's going to be $1.50. No money. I save a lot to get 30 cents. And so I hid the good food from my siblings. I would go downstairs, pick up that 30 cents rojak, and I would just hide somewhere in the staircase going upstairs to the fifth floor to eat all by myself. Before conversion. Old life. Now I'm attempting to walk in the Spirit, and so I'm attempting to share my food with other people. I've done it for a few years already. That's really what the Lord does in our life. Before conversion, your words are like bullets to kill. If you say something, it's going to kill somebody. But now, because you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, new life, new birth, you begin to say things that can even heal the soul of people. It is possible. It is possible to do good works. It is possible to do good because the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit is doing work in you. The third point is this: freely receive, freely give. And you see that in verse 7-8. Having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to maintain good works. Freely receive from God, freely give. See, good works are not necessarily done when you are fully feeling good about yourself. It's not necessarily done by that, because sometimes our soul can accuse us when we do good. Like, you sure you can do good works? You sure you got that sort of personality to do good works? The soul can accuse you, and Christians struggle a lot with this. I always hear this: am I hypocritical if I do good when I'm not good? I hear this all the time. Christians who are helpful people always doubting themselves: am I hypocritical or not? I do good works, but I'm not so good myself. You know, there are times in my counseling life — I'm now retired from the counseling scene, but when I was active in the counseling scene, I have bad patches of family life. You know, when your family is not going the right way, I've got bad patches of family life. And then I'm called to counsel families who are going through bad patches. You know how difficult that is? And so many times I got to silence that lying voice. Remember I told you about the sword of the Spirit? You got to use the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God to say, no, I am called on this mission to counsel this family, irregardless of how my family is. You know, we need to be confident and to go ahead and do what the Lord has put into your heart, even though you may not feel like it. Because if you only do good when you feel good, I tell you what, you'll never do it. Because you'll never ever feel so good about yourself the whole time. And the enemy always used this to stop us from doing good works. And so we need to silence him with the Word of God. And the Word of God is there in Titus 3. He says, you are justified by His grace, and you are heirs having the hope of eternal life. The big word there, and I love this big word here. That's why I wrote it really huge, just on one screen. The word justify. He says here, you are justified. You know why you can do good works even though you don't feel like you are the right person for it? Because you are justified, the Bible tells us. Justified by the grace of God, not because of who you are, but because of the grace of God. Justified means you are 100%. Oh, this is very important. We like savings 100%. We like returns 100%. Here is, you are justified. You are forgiven, cleansed, declared innocent, righteous in God's sight 100%. So when you walk with the Holy Spirit, who is your comforter and your encourager, He will testify to you that you are accepted, that your works of service is accepted, that you are acceptable as God's beloved. When KG says you are the glorious inheritance of God, yeah, stop believing you're a debt to God. Stop believing you are a liability to God. You must start believing that you are an asset to God, that you are the beloved of God. He calls you heir. And He won't dethrone you just because you do something not so great. He won't dethrone you. My children, well, now they are not hangs anymore. But my, because they got married, that's what I meant. But they are still hangs, you know, the hang family. We always call the hang family. They are always hangs to us. No matter what they do, they are always going to be hang. Whatever you do that may be right, wrong, not so right, not so wrong, you are not going to be dethroned because God calls you His heirs. You bear His surname. And so it is very, very important a belief to have, because when you do good works, you need to have this belief, right? I am not good, but because Christ calls me good, therefore I am good. My position and my identity is secure in Christ. Now come the not so good news. Of course, that does not mean you're perfect. It's bad news. I know you're perfect. But you do know you're not perfect, right? Okay. Of course, we're not perfect. But when we walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will allow us a lot of opportunities every day to be sanctified, to be cleansed, to be changed from glory to glory. But nothing can remove us from our royalty in Christ, because you are justified by His grace and you are heirs having the hope of eternal life. When you operate from that level, then when God gives you something to do, good works to do good in the land of Perth, you will maintain good works through thick or thin, through good times or bad times, and in and out of season. That's very important. Yeah? Is it okay so far? Okay, it's good. The fourth point. The fourth point is generous spirit, generous church. So here it says, Titus 3:7, the Holy Spirit whom He poured out on us generously. Not a little bit here and there, trickle. No, the Holy Spirit whom the Lord Jesus poured on us generously through the Lord Jesus Christ is in us. The spontaneous and unceasing love of God is extended to us to do good works, not in a trickle, but in an abundant way. It's an outpouring. So the church catches all the outpouring of the Spirit, catches all the gifts of the Spirit, because the Lord wants you to be His glorious inheritance. Of course, He will endow you with great gifts. Last week, Pastor Ashley Crane, if you remember his sermon, he really preached a sermon that I was like listening in and catching his catchphrase. And the catchphrase for me last week was this. He says, in the first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon Israel, Israel was sealed or identified as the bride of Christ. And then the second temple came along and the Holy Spirit was not in operation. But then when the upper room, when the Holy Spirit visited the believers, the second Pentecost, guess what? The Lord identified the church as His bride. And He comes with extravagant gifts. Now, these days, of course, modern marriages, we don't do a lot of gifting. I mean, we do, but we don't do a lot of it. But when I was getting married, and I come from a very traditional Asian family, if Henry wants to marry me, hey, he's got to come with some stuff. He's got to come with some gifts. And of course, in the Asian community, we have got this, we call it the four types of gold. So not just one small little piece of gold. It's four types of gold. And I got my four types of gold. A heavy and four types of gold. And then you get your sewing machine. I got my sewing machine, and I got my trousseau, like cash, so that, you know, we can give it to the parents. So we come with extravagant gifts. So when Jesus regards the church as the bride through the work of the Holy Spirit, He comes with extravagant gifts. He doesn't ask you to do good works, all right, go and do good works, you know, and no tools, never mind, just go. No. No talent, no. God gives us the talents and God gives us the gifts. And that's why if you go into 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, I won't be able to tell you the whole lot. But if you go into these three chapters, it lists for you all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He wants you to have. The extravagant four types of gold, you know, the extravagant gifts that will be excellent and profitable to everyone. And the Bible tells us it's good. Good works are good for the common good, for everyone, believers, unbelievers, and also for the household of faith. Whoever the Holy Spirit wants to inspire you to bless, whether it's the unfortunate, whether it's the church, whether it's the community, whether it's the neighbors, God just wants you to know that He has gifted you enough gifts for you to be able to contribute. See, your gifts which you have are like jewels. And when you are full of good works, the Bible tells us in Zechariah 9:16, listen to this. Oh, this is so good. This morning when I was with Brian and we were talking in the sound space, we got excited about this verse in Zechariah 9:16. He says, when you are full of good works, you will sparkle in your land. You will sparkle in Perth like jewels in a crown. You're a jewel, not just ordinary jewel. Jewel in a crown. You display the multicolored grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will help us. It's not something we can do. Don't go around saying, I'm the jewel. That's pride. But you will shine. If you are a jewel, you will shine. Yeah? Is that true? Okay? All right? Let somebody else say you're a jewel, not you yourself. But it is good to know that you are a jewel that will sparkle like jewels in a crown. And I want to just share with you a few of these gifts that these few chapters tell us, so that our mind is being broadened. Because sometimes we say good works and we thought it is only doing mission work. And then it says, what to do now? Huh? At that time when COVID was blocking all of us from overseas mission, then what? We can't do good works? No. There are many things we can do. And I'm just going to give you a buffet of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you ask the Lord to endow you with whichever. Some of you have one of them. Some of you have all of them. Some of you have some of them. Whatever God blesses you with, shine in those areas. If you look at the list there, it can be administration. The gift of administration. You can plan, you can organize. Some people are very good in it. If I organize, I can still get things done, but waste a lot of energy because I'm not very good, so I put a lot of effort in it. It's not my spiritual gift. But some of you are very good, so you need to really operate in your gifting. Some apostleship, you see opportunities for the kingdom of God to be expanded. Some craftsmanship, you can plan, you can build, you can work with your hands so well. You are crafty. And when something is put into your hands, you can make things work. I remember I attended one seminar by Roger Sutton. Roger Sutton was the author of Gathering Momentum. He likes to gather people all together and see what they can do as a kingdom. I was particularly impressed by his wife. His wife shared very, very briefly about the work she did. And she actually formed an art club of Christian artists. And because they can't share the gospel, I think, in London so openly, they use art to actually share the gospel. And Christ was preached through craftsmanship. Several years after she left Perth, she passed away because of cancer. But her story just created such an impression on me that you can actually use crafts to touch the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's your gifting, don't hide it. Okay? Some discernment. Some of you can tell good, bad very quickly. Spiritual, non-spiritual very quickly. Use your gifts well, all right? Don't use it to condemn, but use it to build. Use this for good works. Some of you are gifted in evangelism. encouragement, faith, giving. Christians do very well in giving, especially during crisis giving. Continue to give in crisis, to crisis, so that we are able to shine like gems in the crown of God. Yeah, healing. Some of you are very good in this area. Hospitality, GCC does very well. Food is our love language. It's our native tongue. And so whenever we are given opportunities like this, when we can bless the community or do good works to the community, we can also do something around the area of food. Because if that is our gifting, then it's very easy to operate in it. And the Holy Spirit can give us the extra oomph as we obey Him in responding to His call. Interpretation of tongues, knowledge, leadership. Leadership can also be used for good works within the community. I've got a friend. The minute she has got an event going on in Perth, all she has to do is press one button and a few hundred people got the message. That's a gift of leadership, right? Some of us are not gifted in that area. You press buttons and press everywhere. Nobody comes. She just, and everybody comes. Maybe that's you. Maybe your gift is leadership. You need to rise up. You need to ask the Lord, Lord, show me how I can do this so that we are able to bring glory to the Lord's name. And so on and so forth. Mercy and miracles, prophecy, serving, shepherding, teaching, tongues. You said tongues? Tongues can be used for good works? Yes, for doing good. I've got a couple of friends. They're a couple, yeah, husband and wife. And when my father was on his deathbed, they are introverts. They are not very good with words and all that. But they came, and I didn't know that they were in this gifting. They came and prayed for my father in tongues, prayed for a long time in tongues. When they left, my father said he felt the power of the Holy Spirit in that room. So you may be few words, but your tongues may be very powerful to bring a message, to bring hope to the people around. Maybe that's what you need to do. Or maybe wisdom is what the Lord would want to use from your life so that you're able to bring hope and bring a blessing to the people that the Lord has brought into your sphere. Don't despise those gifts. Those are gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit for you to sparkle in our land. I was at a conference and this speaker from Singapore says this. He prays Perth. He says, Perth gives a very inherent dignity to work and also to human life. And we need to receive this praise from a person from Singapore and help us realize that human life has got value. And every one of us has value. And in the sight of God, everyone has high value and great worth. God has filled the church with His gifts so that we can go and reveal the dignity and the value of lives through good works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are called to do good work to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We need to start practicing, noticing needs around us, and then connect with the people with those needs, and validate the people with your giftings, validate their needs, that their needs are natural, and that you are there to bless them with your giftings. And then if it is too big for you, collaborate with other people to meet the needs of these people. I like a lot of all these people who come to our house to repair things. Do you notice they always come in pairs? There's a great collaboration. I believe in collaboration. And I think if it is difficult for you to visit somebody, maybe bring somebody along. If it's difficult for you to start having an art club because you are not very trusting in your own skills or maybe your own leadership, maybe get somebody to come alongside. Collaborate with someone. Cornelius did this. Cornelius gave generously to those in need. In the Bible, Cornelius in Acts 10, he gave generously to those in need, such that the angel came to Cornelius and say, you know what? Your prayers and your alms to the poor and your blessing, the community, has come up as a memorial offering to God. God notices the good works of individuals like Cornelius. Tabitha. Tabitha is always doing good. You know how Tabitha blesses the community? You know how Tabitha helps the poor and the widows? Sewing. Only by a needle, Dorcas, or Tabitha, her other name, was able to bless people around her, using good works to bless people around her. Rick Warren. Rick Warren is the famous author of The Purpose-Driven Life. And it became a roaring success and it earned a lot of money. But Rick Warren says, I will not take money from the proceeds of the books because I don't want to change my lifestyle. Give this to do good works. Individuals doing good works. GCC. Individuals have done good work. Over the years, we have sent food to the sick. That's collaboration. Sometimes it's not just one person. A group of people bring food to individuals in the church. You give gifts to the elderly. You arrange flowers in a hospital. You bring people to church in your cars, etc., etc., etc. May I challenge you and inspire you to continue doing it, because as you do it, you sparkle like jewels in the crown of God. And not just individuals, the church also do good works. If you look at Revelations 2:18, the church in Thyatira was praised for doing good works. It says, I know your deeds. I know your good works. The Bible tells us, your love and your faith, your service and your perseverance. The church, the whole church was being praised for good works. The church at Ephesus, yes, they have got some fault, but the church at Ephesus got noticed in Revelations 2:2. He says, I know your deeds, I know your hard work, and I know your perseverance. GCC, we have done great work as well. I don't know, Pulau Nias. I didn't know the history until I actually checked up some of this history. We supported Pulau Nias, the orphanage. I've been there myself together with Sim. We were just talking about it this morning, you know, all those good times when we were there in Pulau Nias, helping out with the children's program. We helped Pulau Nias during the tsunami. During the tsunami, 12,000 homes were destroyed. Then we heard about Pulau Nias. We went to help Pulau Nias. And then they also have an earthquake in 2005. So a lot of devastation. But, you know, when the mission director, was it, Jennifer, or was it Marie, came to share about the children in the orphanage graduating and working. Tell you what, we have a part in that. And they pray at 5 a.m. in the morning. When we were there, we were like, 5 a.m., you know, we are, you know, just going to sleep. They woke up at 5 a.m., go to the prayer room, and they prayed for us. Consistently prayed for us. So we have done good works as a church. And on the collaborative front, we have packed bags for women in need. We have packed Christmas shoeboxes for children. I just pray that the Lord will inspire us as we hear this message. Inspire us that as the Lord calls you, that you will come along. That your mission as a church to be an influence in Perth and beyond is expressed in good works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kind God, kind believers. You are to flourish in good works. New life, new birth. You are born again to be a blessing to your world. Generous spirit, generous church. The Holy Spirit is deposited in you generously to do good. And freely receive, freely give. As you allow the Holy Spirit to show you where, what, and how you can be a blessing, you walk in it. And I believe that if you are not wary in well-doing, if you're not wary in doing good in due season, the Bible promises us in Galatians 6:9, you will reap if you do not faint. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. What's in your hands? The Holy Spirit wants to use your hands, your open hands. What is in your heart? The Spirit wants to use your open heart to express His glory. In Perth, God brought us here for a very good reason. Yeah, to enjoy ourselves, that's one thing, but also to do good to this land. And the Lord wants to use us. The Lord has already used a lot of us. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is so full of expression, so full of creativity. As you open yourself to Him, open hands and open heart, open mind. Invite the Holy Spirit to do a greater work in you, greater works that no eye have seen, no ears have heard. And God wants to put that in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Shall we stand?